Hello, everyone. Let me turn my music off. I'm listening to camp music. So I always go out of my way at all my retreats to come up with special playlists and I take the music really seriously. I think that music is one of those things that can inspire us, help us, and do all these things. And so when I'm trying to create atmosphere, and you can ask anybody that comes to camp, one of the things that they will tell you is that I bring the heat when it comes to making sure that the attitude and the atmosphere is really set. So I have this whole playlist that is all of the things that the tribe is going to be listening to when they go through camp and go through the worksheets. And then, so I like to work to them and just kind of really get it in my head, because each one is attached to a specific exercise we'll do, so that when we do that exercise, I am just it helps me visualize ahead of time and kind of think about things I want to emphasize and things I'm going to want to say and all that stuff. So I seriously spend a lot of time, really just for some reason Siri is recording everything I'm saying right now. I just spend a lot of time trying to make sure that each little detail for all the events are always, very covered. And it's also no makeup day. So just wanted to tell you guys that one of the other ways that I prepare for camp is exfoliating, hydrating, making sure that the money maker will look good. So I didn't put on makeup today because I want to let my face breathe and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm kind of casual today, wearing my long duster so I can hide my granny bra, all the things. So let's see who's getting coached today. Now that you guys are all here, let me get it up. Becky, are you here? You're first. Just raise your hand. You were first to get coached. If we can't attend, will there be a video we can purchase? No, Margaret. What we do is we record the camps for all of starting recording camps for everyone. So this is the first retreat. We're recording the whole thing. All of the campers, they're going to get all the records. Now, if I end up teaching something that I think, there may be a moment where I teach something really well, you may see some of that content sometimes populate, but we're not going to, here's the thing about the camps and stuff, guys. Just watching the video, I don't think is ever as impactful as being there. And so I wouldn't want to, I don't know. I'm just not in a space where I just think it would be fair to kind of sell it to you guys and stuff. But the reason why we're recording is not only for the campers to have it, but so that we have, I can't tell you how many times this year I taught a concept and I was like, fuck, why don't we have this on recording? Do what?
Oh, I'm telling my mom not to come in here and just babble because I'm getting coached.
Well, I said fuck, and then you went, shh. I thought, what? You have kids in there? You freaked me out. Okay. All right. So what are we coaching on?
I had signed up to be coached on thought work around my foot.
Okay.
I have had 2 surgeries this year on the same foot.
Okay.
One for plantar fasciitis and the other for tarsal tunnel.
Okay.
But I'm still not pain-free. I'm still in quite a bit of pain, so I think another surgery might be in my future because I don't know if he got it all. And I'm a person that used to run all the time, and I've done half marathons, and now I can barely walk. So I'm really, really down on myself because of that.
So are you down on yourself for your foot that needs surgery?
It's kind of that feeling I'll never be able to do what I used to. And it just makes me really depressed.
Okay. Let's pretend you can't ever do that stuff again. Let's say half marathon, they're out. We're not doing that anymore, ever again. Now what?
I don't know. That just makes me really sad.
Yeah, but I want you to really understand it's all because of how you're thinking. You think the foot's doing it. And here's how I know. That's making me really sad. Our foot cannot make us sad. Surgeries cannot make us sad. A doctor saying you no longer can ever run again cannot make us sad. Now, Becky, I'm not saying you can't choose to be sad. But the only way you'll ever gain authority over this and figure out what you're going to want to do in your future is if you let go of the idea that this is happening to me versus this is what's happening and now I need to decide what we're doing.
Okay.
But I need you to like be with me on the very first step is understanding nothing's happening to me right now. I have a foot, I have surgery, I might not be able to run again. Everything after that are going to be everything that I think, and I need to take ownership of my piece of it.
I guess I'm kind of wondering, like, what kind of thoughts I can have that are good, though, because it's like I just can't seem to find any.
It's because you don't believe this is something that's not a bad thing. You don't need any good thoughts right now.
Okay.
You have to start with the very first piece, which is, this isn't a bad thing. That doesn't mean that it's a good thing. We have to get to the place where it's like, this is just what's happening. And then I have to like be with that. Like, I'm not going to be able to run anymore. You may want to choose to be like, you know, like, yeah, I'm legit upset. I loved that piece of my life. And if they tell me I can't run anymore, of course that would be sad. They'd be like saying, tell me the good thoughts I can have about my mother dying. I think she's got like stage 4 cancer. I'd like to skip the part where we grieve.
Yeah, right.
So okay. What is it that you know right now? Like 100% with certainty, what do we know?
Like just about my foot in general or?
Yeah, like I think you have a lot of things you think might happen.
Yeah. But
the first thing we have to do is get authority over like this is the only things happening right now. So the first way to feel better is to not let your brain run wild.
Okay. Because basically what I know right now is that it hurts. Okay. So, I have like chronic pain or constant pain.
Okay. So the first thing for you is to recognize every time your foot hurts, your brain is going to want to jump the worst case scenario.
Right.
Case scenario is I lose my identity as a runner. Every time your foot hurts. Are you losing your identity as a runner as we know right now?
I don't think so.
Well, I think we really are. You know why? You keep thinking about not being a runner.
Right.
So you are the one who's, this was a trick question.
Yeah.
You're the one killing your identity as a runner every single day and every time your foot hurts. That part of you right now, we don't know is over. So why bother with like taking an axe and murdering it ahead of time?
Okay. Yeah.
Like literally one of the things that you could just tell yourself is my foot is hurting. And that only means that as of right now, my foot is hurting. It doesn't mean anything about the future.
Okay.
And if the best place you can go is to kill your future running self, then you don't go to the future. You stay in your present.
Okay.
You're very good at understanding this pain is just today's pain, and we're figuring out what's next. That's it. That's as far in the future that I'm going. And then eventually what ends up happening, you do start neutralizing. The pain is just the physical pain of the foot.
Right.
Your issue is you're putting the emotional pain behind it.
Yeah.
We lower that temperature. Guess what happens? I want you to imagine this for a second. If every single time your foot hurt and all you thought is, this is physical pain and I'm working with my doctor on figuring out my next steps. If every single time that's all you like, notice you're trying to like think other things. You're like, nope, this is only what it is. what would happen for you?
I mean, that would help a lot just in my daily life too, with, you know, taking care of the kids and everything and just taking a lot of that stress away.
Yeah. And you're very lucky to have this pain. Let me just tell you, because, you know, a lot of us, we would kill to have something that would tell us. It's almost like you have, you know, like we always said, say things like, if somebody would just cattle prod me every time I want to eat, I'd probably stop.
Right.
You have your reminder in your foot to retrain your brain on how you want to think about yourself. That physical may not be fun, but if you're going to have it, you might as well use it.
Right. And that's kind of what I wanted to get to, is like, every time it's bugging me, like even today it has been, instead of thinking this is going to be the rest of my life and blah, 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 just to tone it back a little bit.
And let me ask you this. If you can't be a runner, what do you make that mean?
Almost like if I can't run again, that, you know, I'm never going to lose this weight because I can't exercise.
Oh, that's hilarious. Because, you know, that's just a lie.
Oh, I know.
I don't even tell y'all to exercise. And for some reason in your brain, it's like, oh my God, if I don't run, I'm not going to be able to lose weight. You need to, every time your foot hurts and it wants to think like we're not going to be a runner, say, well, it's thank God we're not running right now, because we need to learn how to run our mouth. Since our running has nothing to do with losing weight, this is a really good opportunity to learn how to run my mouth, to train my mouth. My mouth needs to be in the endurance race.
Right.
I had a feeling that that was why there was so much pain. It's like, I've got my runner status tied to my bigger purpose, which is to lose my weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to divorce. And this foot is a welcome gift for you, because you running does not make you thin. Were you like 110 pounds and I didn't know it when you were a runner?
When I was running all the time, I was down to like 150 something. But that was part of the reason I didn't have kids. I wasn't married yet. I ran all the time. I outran my bad eating is what I did.
Oh.
So then when I stopped running, I gained my weight.
So you never were thin because you were a runner. You know why you were thin? Because you abused exercising.
I did.
Yeah. You were an abusive spouse to your running.
Right.
Now, and the only reason why you want to be a runner has nothing to do with the pure love of it. It's the pure hate of weight gain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be a runner because you hate one thing. Like, if you're actually going to cry over running, cry because you love running, not because you're trying to outrun all of your emotions. Like, this is your opportunity to fucking work on yourself.
Right.
You don't have running now to be a buffer and to avoid the real work, which is figure this shit out. Why am I overeating? Because if you weren't overeating, you could have stopped, like you could have dead stopped on your exercise and it would not have mattered.
Right.
Like, I haven't done anything for 2 weeks. I had boob surgery. I hadn't worried about it at all. I've gone out on some leisurely walks. I saw some deer. If I didn't want to walk, I would just meditate. Ran into a turtle. And I have not worried one ounce. And this is for somebody who loves exercise. But you know why I don't worry? Because I love exercise, and I also know I eat with integrity. It doesn't mean I eat perfectly, but I just eat with integrity. If you develop a relationship like that, then you would be sitting around thinking, you know what? I'm just sitting here. I'm eating healthy, because right now my foot needs me to eat healthy. If I ever want to be a runner again, that's probably what it needs. And if I can't ever again, I love exercise so much, I'll figure something out. You would be in a whole different space. But when you're doing it because you think that is what's going to help you lose the weight. And let me just tell you, the older you get, first of all, you got kids now. You ain't going to be able to outrun your mouth. Nobody, that's why like that shit stops working. The other reason is, aren't you older now? How old were you back then?
25.
How old are you now?
It was 34.
Yeah, those days are over. A lot of 20-year-olds can outrun their mouth, and then when they get 30, their body is like, yeah, we can't do that anymore. Which you're
right.
You'll be running and trying to eat less and be like, I don't understand why nothing's happening now. It's because you always have to be in control of your mouth. Always. Okay. All right. You got a lot of good coaching.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely what I needed. And I'm the one with the two autistic boys, and I'm always picking at you for questions because they're 5 and 3 and oh, both of them are like nonverbal and yeah, it's fun.
That is exactly why you need to work on your emotional eating.
I do.
Because you can't just leave those boys and go run. You're going to have to learn how to stay.
Yeah.
Bravely.
Yeah. This has been helpful.
I hope so.
Definitely. As I look at my beautiful scars. Yes. I am proud of my scars, though. They're my little, you know, battle scars, my battle wounds. So,
right. Well, I'll be hoping that they get your foot fixed.
Yeah, I see him again on Wednesday, and I'm hoping he'll give me some kind of news that I can, you know, take and run with. Not run with, but, you know.
But know your next steps.
Yes, yes. So that'll help, too.
Until now and then, your job is to just remind yourself, I don't need to run to lose weight at all. My foot, we're figuring this out. And then every time your brain wants to go to shit on that stuff, just remember the only reason why I'm scared is because some reason I thought running had anything to do with my weight loss goals, and it just doesn't.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Good luck, Mama.
Thank you.
Ready. Bye. All right. Oh my gosh, y'all, I have to tell you. So let me see who's next and then I'll tell you the story. It's really, oh shit, wants me to log in again. Jeannie, are you here? And there you go. All right, so this morning, Logan was my hair, y'all. Logan was talking to me, he was in here, and he said one of the things he really loved was that I had like a group for kids with unique needs and stuff. And he was wondering if I'd ever met any of these kids. And I said, no, I've never really met them. And he was like, well, maybe we can meet them one day. And I said, well, maybe. And then he said, he asked me, do I coach you guys on it? And I said, yeah. I said, but you know what I really do? I was like, we typically, when they come on, I'm like, okay, I need coaching about you. And he looked at me and he said, why do you need coaching about me? He said, I've always thought I was a great son. He took it so seriously. I was like, baby, you are a great son. Oh, it was the funniest moment. I about died laughing. Okay, Jeannie, what are we coaching on?
Hi. So a couple of things. I am having this issue with feeling like I need to control everything.
Okay.
Control everything. It has to be done perfectly. And the unrealistic expectations that I place on myself in doing that. And then finally, the fear of just moving forward. And I've noticed this trend, you know, when I've been doing P&P, I'm a rock star during the weekend. You know, I have my little hiccups. I go into the week and I take a shit like Wednesday, Thursday, and then I start the whole process back over. And then that happens in the month as well. So I'm a rock star like the first third, kind of take a shit in the middle of the month, and then it's, you know, it just dies at the end. Everything really
in that moment when you don't do it right mean. So if you're a perfectionist, where are we going here?
So I just, you know, I'm a big fan of Wonder Woman, and a lot of people call me Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a big fat lie that I just can't get it together. And so I have this,
because you overeat.
When I overeat, when I, you know, and it transcends a number of different things. When I overeat, when I can't get it together with my family, I'm in graduate school right now. And so it bubbles over into these other areas. And so when I can't get it together, when I over, you know, whether it's overeating or in these other areas that aren't related to eating, everything just seems to just fall apart because in my head.
Go ahead. It's not falling apart. You're
right.
Destroying it.
I'm sorry?
You're destroying it.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I just want you to watch how you talk about it. Mm-hmm. Just seem, you said it just seems like three times.
Okay.
It just seems like things happen. Like it just seems like all of a sudden I'm off the rails. Mm-hmm. No, you decide at some point that a mistake means to fuck up the day instead of save the day.
Right. That's right.
So,
and so I guess my issue is I recognize that, but I don't know how to bridge that from feeling, from destroying it to fixing it. I don't know how to shift that thinking so that I can say, okay, well, this is okay. You overeat. Let's reshift our focus instead of just saying the entire day is ruined or the entire week is ruined. Let's just start fresh on Monday or let's start fresh the beginning of the month.
To happen in order to change that.
One more time.
In your mind, what do you think the solve is? Like, what do you think is like somebody who's overcome that, what do you think they did to overcome that? Or what do you think happened for them for that to be overcome?
I think that probably what happens for them in that moment is they say, okay, we're going to take this as data. We're going to take this as a learning moment and we're just going to move on and we're going to apply it to the next time this issue pops up again.
Really? No wonder you're like, I don't understand why I can't do it, because I think that somebody is sitting around just like, oh my gosh, I just had an overeat. This is a time to collect my data. I'm going to get it going. I'm feeling real good. This is amazing. Like, you literally described it as it would happen that way.
Right.
Like, there's no shame shawl. There's no moment of disappointment. There's no wondering if I'm ever going to get my shit together.
That's true.
I will tell all of you who are sitting around wondering why you can't bridge the gap, it's because you your interpretation of what happens is so Pollyanna and crazy, mm-hmm. and so different from what you do, then you think something's going wrong. Rather than your shit show is exactly what's supposed to be happening. Your problem is you just decide to believe your shit show rather than, right. I'm beating myself up and I'm doing all the things. Fuck, we're still going to have to do a recovery worksheet. Oh, it's going to suck. I really don't want to. I so wish I hadn't overate. Like, you're going to do all of that. Even to this day, like I overate and overdrink last night. I did it all. Do you think I was just like, well, like my data, like, thank God I'm the queen. This is great. Another learning opportunity for everyone, including myself. Mm-hmm. What do you think happened with the queen? Let me tell you, my shit show didn't happen last night because I was right. Had three glasses of wine and had chips. So I was in the euphoria of having chips and wine. So the shit show started this morning. What do you think happened?
Honestly, don't know.
I'm not going to tell you.
No. So I would think in my head, they were like, okay, we're just going to move on from this. But
really? That's how I've been able to keep weight off, is by just going, we are moving on.
I didn't say it was logical. I just, in my head, that's what I think. And I guess from my perspective, I think people got their shit together and I don't. And
that's the thought that you have that you have to work on. Mm-hmm. People have their shit together and I don't.
That's right. And I that's just a pervasive thought that I've had.
Yeah. This is like the one thought you just need to be starting to pay attention to. People have their shit together and I don't. You have it in your mind that there is this way that's happening that is so easy for everyone else. Guys, all of you do this. You sit around and you envision that for other people it's easy. And they must know something you don't know. And if that's true, if they know something you don't, you're not going to be able to fix yourself. If it's true, it's easier for them, then every time it's hard for you, it will mean something's not working. Mm-hmm. When it's hard for you, that means it's working. when you don't have your shit together, it means you just found the next thing to work on. It doesn't mean something's wrong. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an endless list of shit to work on for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. There's no, don't say, because you don't believe it. I know you don't. Perfectionists never believe that. Perfectionists, this is what y'all really believe. There's somehow a magic switch that happens where somebody collectively gets their shit together and everything's easy. When is my turn?
So when you just said that I'm going to have an endless life full of stuff I got to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did say, inside I'm thinking, son of a bitch. Because it just seems so daunting.
It's only daunting because you tear yourself down through the process. Like, I don't care that I have stuff to work on the rest of my life. I don't care that one day my husband's going to die and I'm going to have to work on that. I don't care about all of that because I know through the process, I'm not going to rip Corinne to shreds through it. But you go through the exact same process as I do and you rip yourself to shreds over it. That is why you don't go after things full-heartedly. If you were truly going after your goals 110%, you would go through them when they're not going correctly. You're only going through them when it feels good.
Mm.
It feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not how we get to goals.
Yeah, that's right.
So now you got to saddle up and feel bad. That's the next level work.
Okay.
So now, here's how we're going to do it. The next time something goes wrong, you're going to want to think that you're missing something or that fuck this is too much and all this other stuff. Your normal array of bullshit's going to come screaming in at you. And then you're going to have to be like, that's just how I think.
Right.
The hard part for you will always be to keep going when it feels humiliating, like it's never going to happen. It feels like something's wrong. The moment it feels like something's going wrong in you, you know you're doing it right if you'll keep on. You will know you're doing it wrong if suddenly it feels easy because you're eating and doing nothing.
Okay. And it scares me to death to have to feel this and to have to sit through that discomfort.
Why is the discomfort scary? What's going to happen in the moment of discomfort?
I think I don't know. I think when I sat through discomfort and then I've given in, it is I think it proves that I can't do the hard stuff. I don't know if that makes any sense.
This proves, and I know what you're saying. I think when you sit in the discomfort and you say, I give in,
mm-hmm.
I think it just proves you have to look for another strategy or
okay.
You have to learn to wait one more minute or you have to you need to get your brain going to work on like, you know, you have to this is one of the things that I would really encourage you to work on is to quit looking. This is always perfectionist stuff is mistakes mean it's not working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mistakes mean I'm working. If you're not doing, this is when you're not making mistakes, when you've given up.
Right.
No mistakes to look at.
Right.
Nothing but just all the things that you're doing. Like one of the things that perfectionists do is they take away the opportunity for self-judgment or judgment of others by doing nothing. Because a perfectionist is really at the end of the day worried about two things, being blamed for something going wrong or judging themselves for something going wrong.
That's completely me.
So if you think about that, that's the only problem you have to work on is understanding that when I'm not doing nothing, I have taken away my opportunity to learn how to be judged by external and internal self.
Okay.
That is going to be your work. Like if you really will just do things, let it be messy. Listen to what you say. Like, what do you make your mistakes mean? Am I worried about somebody's going to blame me for something? Somebody's going to think about something about me? Am I doing the same thing to myself? Listen for all of it. From now on, I want you to, like, or at least for a week, I want you to listen from the perspective of, I just want to hear the conversation I have, rather than, like, you're hearing it right now, but you're believing all of it.
Right.
There's a difference between listening with, like, trying to understand what you're hearing, what you're talking to yourself like, and like hearing it and thinking it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take the bad out. I promise you that if you will just get really good at listening to yourself and not think it's bad, but it's like, oh, no wonder I like to quit. Because if I'm talking to myself like this, of course I wouldn't want to make mistakes. Who would? Mm-hmm. And when you do it that way, you don't even need new thoughts. You'll start kind of getting such an understanding of yourself and pushing yourself to keep going that you start really saying, oh, so I could think different things. But at first, you just got to understand what you're thinking.
Okay. That's really helpful.
I think it will unlock a lot for you with your eating for sure.
Okay. Yeah. I that makes a lot of sense. And, I think you're totally right that if I can focus on those things and not look at it as bad, that's going to help push me because that's been the trend.
Yeah, it's not bad, guys. None of this is ever bad. And none of it's even good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if we can all just get to a point to where we really just notice the stuff we think, if we're just like, it's all a collection of sentences. And then as humans with amazing brains, when we get really good at noticing they're just sentences, we get to start having the ability to pick and pull the ones that work and take out the ones that don't.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You look great. Did you go to church or something this morning?
Oh, no. So I typically, this is like no makeup Sunday, but we're going somewhere afterwards. So just so you know, I exfoliated everything for you today.
Thank you. I know. I've got to do a scrub. I was like, I haven't done shit in the last week since I had my boobs done. And I was like, showering this morning, I was like, my skin is just coming off.
Right. Well, thank you.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
All righty. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see who is next. Hope, are you here? Here we go. Hope, raise your hand again. I hit the wrong damn button. Sorry about that. Good Lord. You'd think I'd never done this before, y'all. I was asking you to start your video. I don't know why. They used to automatically come up, but it doesn't anymore. Hello.
Hi.
What are we coaching on today?
Let me get you over here. First of all, I'm super excited to be with you. You're so amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm a September baby, so very new. And I'm working on my protocol and thoughts around that.
Okay.
And drinking and exceptions. So in my protocol, I'm allowing 2 exceptions per week. My protocol really allows all foods. I don't really want to restrict, but I do have exceptions, like with carb loaded kind of cheesy foods. They in my mind are what would be trigger foods to me.
Well, what is that? Carb loaded?
My husband is Italian and he makes the most amazing ziti and it's like so good. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. That's
and pizza, you know, like Italian. So the reason I have them as exceptions is because I think I might overeat them. And I have not really included exceptions on my plans yet, except for drinking, because I go out a lot with friends and I don't know, apparently surround myself with people who like to drink. And so what I'm finding is if I'm allowing myself 2 exceptions per week, those 2 exceptions are going towards drinks, and therefore I'm not including any exception foods into my...
That's just a choice. So, I mean, that's one you've made for yourself. There's no problem with that. Why is there hesitancy?
Well, because I fear that I won't be able to do this for the long haul, because so if I drink twice a week with friends and then I cannot add any exception foods, so there's not going to be, you know, these like Mexican or nachos.
Is the question. You're talking about this as if there's, let me see. Can you hear me okay? Try turning your mic up. I think these guys can hear me okay.
My mic is all the way up, but who knows?
Here, I can turn mine up a little bit. Guys, am I blowing y'all out if I turn it up that far? Can you hear me okay?
That's better.
Okay. Okay. Y'all, I can like turn it up even more if you need. Okay. Goof. You're talking about this as if there's like, you haven't even tried to include inspection foods yet.
Right. I'm scared.
Why?
Well, I think what first comes to mind is that I'm going to eat past my two.
Okay. And then you'll learn. Now what?
that I will be derailed off this program and that I will not do it for the long haul.
Okay. The only way that we can be derailed off the program is if Hope decides, you know what? I'm derailed. Every mistake is a derailment. Here I am. I'm barely on these tracks, guys, hanging on. That's all a construct of your brain. Like eating off plan, guys, I'm going to say this out loud and please everyone pay attention. Eating off plan does not mean you're derailed. I want y'all to even think about, like, everybody close their eyes for a hot second. And there is a train and it gets derailed. How is and when the train gets derailed, it's because he decided to throw a donut into his fire pit to get him down the tracks. We're in Thomas the Tank days where we're burning wood. We're burning coal, guys. That's it. Like, you're either careening off the tracks or you threw the wrong fuel in, but you could keep going.
Yep.
Eating off plan is not a derailment. And I'm going to tell you, Hope, if you are someone, like you've already said like some red flag things. Mm-hmm. If I don't include all the foods, I'm afraid I'm going to feel restricted. You're already restricting now. You just don't even know it. So you obviously can do that.
Right.
All of us have to feel restriction to lose weight. The problem is you guys think restriction, like y'all need to put restriction on the circumstance line, which is what we're going to learn this week. So don't get thrown when I say the circumstance line. You need a definition for yourself what restriction means. In my world, this is what restriction means. It makes it easier for me to restrict certain things to be able to eat healthy. I do it because, like, you know what? What I restrict, like, I don't eat chips every night for one reason. I wake up in the middle of the night burping them.
Right.
I restrict things from a place of what works for me and what doesn't work for me and, like, how I want to be feeling in my body, how I like my body and stuff. You are restricting because you're afraid.
Right.
Rather than being like, you know what? I'm going to try to add in an exception. I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to test this. The only way to know if I'm going to eat past my two is to guess what? Stop restricting from the place of being afraid. Add it in and see what, and restrict myself from overeating. And then if I don't, it's not because I can't handle myself around foods. It's because I haven't learned yet how to handle myself around these foods yet. That's called my practice.
So do you think, and I wondered this, do you think I shouldn't think of these foods as trigger foods and I should try to have them not be exceptions and just work with them in my plan?
What do you want to do? Do you want to think of them as my husband's delicious ziti that I love more than anything, an amazing cook, my trigger food? What feels good and what feels like fucking shit?
I think it would feel better to feel as if I could eat those foods on occasion and still lose weight.
Yeah, it would feel amazing. And mm-hmm. in order to be able to eat them on occasion and stuff, you're going to have to eat them on occasion, see what it does for your weight loss. You'll have to learn how to eat them with that. Like, you know, if it's all that and, you know, a side of cheesecake, then what's going to happen is when you're eating it, of course, it's going to be hard to eat it because you're going to be like, this is good. I don't want to stop. All those things are going to come up. The solve is not to not do that so that doesn't come up. The solve is to let it come up and continually work on figuring out how to have his ziti so that when you lose your weight, when he cooks ziti, mm-hmm. you can eat ziti like a normal ass human being and move on with your life. And you don't have to think about it. It just is who you are now. The only way that you become that version of you is you have to go through all the versions of you along the way that's learning how to have ziti with the end result in mind.
So when you have a food that you is so yummy and you get
my nachos.
Right. You talk about nachos a lot and you get to your two. Is there a way that you tend to stop yourself?
Sometimes what I do is like, it's a matter of, I just start noticing that I'm overeating. Like I'll notice I'm already overeating. And that's when I start questioning, like you can stop at any time. Sometimes it's two more bites. Sometimes I just overeat. Sometimes it's always a learning process. I mean, I'm still overeating to this day. I just stop before it becomes a shit show. I don't do like I used to and throw away 3 weeks of my life because of it. Right. I don't say, fuck the weekend. It's Friday night. I've already screwed up. There's, you know, I might as well start on Monday. I just don't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah, I get it. I do.
I mean, I literally, guys, this is the perfect call because I had planned to have 3 glasses of wine last night and I had planned to just have a salad. I had 3.5 glasses of wine. I literally stopped in the middle of the fourth, I guess, glass number four, in the middle because I was like, do you really need to finish this? Like you planned three. And I had a good buzz. But that's not even easy to do. And I was like, you know what? Nothing bad's going to happen if you just leave it. And so we left. And then I came home, I had my salad, because I typically don't eat when we go out. Most of the time, if I'm drinking, I just don't enjoy eating and drinking. I've never understood why people want to have wine with dinner. I'm just like,
I'm the same way.
I like to separate that shit out. And like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be with my wine. I want to be with my wine. I want to be with my food. I want to be with my food.
Yep.
So I came home, had my salad. I was just like, oh my God, I'm such the champ. Like in my mind, I might as well deserve a trophy. I had like stopped myself in the middle of a glass of wine and I walked by the pantry. I was like, oh shit, Chris has jalapeno kettle chips.
Oh, shit.
I just grabbed them, cut them open and took them to the bedroom. There was no pause whatsoever. And I was eating them and having an amazing time. Logan even came in. I offered him one. And then at some point I was like, you know what? Stop at any time. I was like, I am done. Like, I don't need any more chips. I just told myself these weren't even on the plan. And I did my little recovery worksheet this morning. I wasn't going to do it buzzed. It's like talking to a drunk. What's the point? But I did my little recovery worksheet this morning but I stopped there. Like I got up this morning. I had regret. I remember going to the bathroom and the first thing I was thinking is, oh, I wish I hadn't have ate those chips last night. Like the chips were the thing for me. Of course I didn't want to eat them. And I had that moment of disappointment and been like, girl, it's the week of camp. Why are you eating chips off your plan? And then I was like, you know, we just need to do our recovery worksheet. And then I just went on my walk. I went on to thinking about other things and I just figured out, what am I going to learn from this?
Okay. So I think what I'm taking from this is that what you said, I haven't even tried it yet. So I think I, on my protocol, I will put these foods off of my exception trigger food list and I will learn. I will try to learn where they need to be.
Yeah. And you know, guys, I want you to watch the way you talk about trigger foods. Mm-hmm. If identifying a set of foods, when you say trigger on the inside, it really means these are the foods I eat out of control.
Right.
If that's what it means, then we need to clean that part up. There's also, like, I have certain trigger foods that I know that here's what happens. When I eat these foods, it's easier for me to talk myself into overeating. I keep it really, like, boring. I put all the onus on me. Like, these foods, I talk myself into eating more. Rather than versus what you're doing, which is these foods are my trigger foods. I'm out of control when I'm eating them, which is like, do you see how heavy that sounds?
Yes. And I also see that it frames it as a choice for me. These foods, I choose to talk myself into allowing myself to eat it more, where the way you're framing it is more, it's a choice.
Yeah. Like, I know that there are certain foods. It's just, you know, like when I'm eating nachos or trying to think of something that, like, well, like wine, if we French fries, oh, that's a big one for me. There's just certain, I don't really have time. I will say I'm an immensely boring eater. I love to love my food, and I've narrowed down, like, what do I really love? And this has taken like 14 years. To really, like, there's so many foods I used to think I needed or like, oh, I can't live without and stuff. And now I've decided, no, there's, I don't need those anymore. But there are certain ones I just really like. And so I include them and whatnot. Oh, a can of nuts. Well, I can get down on a can of nuts. Have shit for days. Like, but there's like, what I talk to myself about are, these are the foods that I know I have to manage my mind more around. So when I'm eating them, I need to be paying attention. I need to listen for my bullshit. And like, this is what, like, I, before I even start eating them, I really understand what my habit brain is going to be doing. Whereas a lot of you talk about like your trigger foods as if you have no say in the matter. Like, when I eat these, it just all goes to shit. And it's like, no, when you eat those, you know, like when you have ziti, and what other fabulous things your husband makes, whatever food you have, like somebody said ice cream. A lot of you guys have, like, you know, certain things. You just like talk about it. Like, these are the foods that I know I have to watch my brain more around. These are the ones that are going to light me up. These are the ones that my habit brain has, you know, plenty of conditioning around. And that's all that's happening. Thoughts are going to come in a little faster. Like, you know, nobody ever comes in and says, hey, Corinne, can you help me with my trigger food of kale? None of us have habit brains around kale. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I know what I will do. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye. Okay. Who's next? Linda. You've been so good, Linda. You've had that hand up since the moment you walked in. Hey, lady, what are we coaching on? Hey, when did you join the tribe? You don't have to know exactly unless it was September. That's easy.
No, I'm an April baby.
Okay. And like the September group is getting ready to go through the model. And then we have everybody else who's been through the model.
And I'm thrilled about this week coming up because I think I need to revisit so much of the thinking behind some of this journaling. And that's really what I wanted to get coached on today. So I have reams and reams of journals and papers, and my husband's starting to question what's really in this drawer of mine that I keep adding to. One day he's going to read them all and find out, and that's fine. So what triggered me this week was something so silly, and I realized what's happening in my intentional model is I'm not believing it. So intellectually, I can write things down, and I put all the words there, and it's all, yay, okay, I'm done my journaling, and then I just don't believe it. So, and it creates this complete reaction, you know, where, okay, well, screw it, I'm just going to go and eat now. Or, you know, it's that, I don't know if it's
what is it that you're not believing?
So I'll just give you the latest one, which was Friday. I've applied for another job, and I don't even know if I want this job. So that's parked out there. But I haven't heard back from them. They're taking their time. They've told me I'm one of the final two. And so the circumstances, I haven't heard back. And then what I want to think is they must be waiting for somebody else. It's not about me, because I know where I am. I know where I am intellectually and what my work is worth. And so what would be the next thing is when I think that, well, it takes the weight off, not the pounds weight, but the emotional weight, makes me non-judgmental about myself and I can stay on plan. But that still doesn't intellectualize. You know, it's on paper, but it's not inside. Do you know what I mean?
So what is it that you are believing about them not calling you back?
I don't know what to believe. I think
you have to be believing something, because you're not believing this. If you don't know what to believe, then this would be great.
They put me through a 3-hour leadership assessment. It's for an executive level position. And the results came back a little different to how I expected. And of course I got a little defensive about, oh, the test is crap and they don't know what they're doing. You know, that's what I'm believing is it's not me. It's gotta be them. You know, and then I think, well, really, you know, the thing they said about this test is they've got certain habit trackers of leaders that they can.
But let's assess. Go back. They haven't called me.
Yeah, they haven't called me.
So you have to be believing something. Otherwise, your new thought would work.
I think I'm believing I'm not good enough for this job.
And you think that's really it? I just want to make sure before we go down.
Yeah, that's really inside me. That's me thinking, I don't think I'm good enough. Must be the other guy, even though I know intellectually I've got exactly the skills they should be looking at. It's got probably nothing to do with this stupid 3-hour assessment that they put me through.
You're going to have to quit judging the assessment.
You're right.
Your action is like, I don't believe I'm good enough. And that feels what? I mean, your thought is, I don't believe I'm good enough. And your action, or you feel what?
I feel self-doubt. I feel down. I feel blah.
So when you feel self-doubt, you know what your action line is?
I put you at total self-spiral, because then I'll go crazy.
You know, I don't even think you're self-spiraling. I think you're creating all kinds of confusion, doubt. Like, I don't even know if I want this job. That you're setting them up to be a villain. So that if you don't get the job, you can somehow protect yourself. What your result is, now they're not good enough.
Right.
So it's no wonder you're going through all this. Like, let me just tell you, if the result is this company's not good enough, then you're not going to believe, like, I'm, you know, well qualified. Why would you need to believe a new model if you've set them up to be a shit show?
No answer. I wouldn't have applied if I didn't think they were worth my time, right? So,
right. But I just want you to see what you're doing with your own thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. Like, I haven't heard from them. I'm not good enough. I feel self-doubt. So now I'm going to go on the defense. Most people that feel self-doubt, rather than when you feel self-doubt and going on the defense and saying, you know what? This is not I will either get the job or I want and I'll have my own back. But what you're doing is you're like, oh my God, I might not get the job. I'm not good enough. I feel doubt. So now I need to tear down the job to feel better about myself. But in the end, all I do, my result for myself is I make sure they're not good enough too.
Right.
You're not going to need to believe this new one. You're not going to ever believe this new one. Why would you want to attach to a model that makes you feel good about them if you don't feel good about them?
Correct. So how can I take this then? So how can I learn from this model? Like, what would your intentional model be?
Maybe about it.
Yeah.
Right now, your thought is, I'm not good enough.
Correct.
That's what's driving. So we need a thought that's going to complement, I'm not good enough.
Is it just the antithesis of that? Is it just saying, well, I am good enough?
No. I think that's what most of you want to do.
Yeah.
Most of you want to go to, I'm good enough, when you don't believe it.
This is where I'm stuck. So the thought could be, perhaps the other guy hasn't done his assessment yet. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, you can do all that, but you're trying to feel good.
I'm really at a block here, Corinne. I don't know.
What if you just were like, it's going to happen however it happens. I don't have to tear myself down and them in the process. It's like time's going to pass. I mean, you could easily work on, like, I'm just going to believe no matter what happens, I'm good enough. But, like, you can come up with, like, all the ways that you're good enough if you get the job, all the ways you're good enough if you don't get the job, and none of it has to be that they're bad. Right. Because I think what's happening is rather than you focusing on the good about you, you're going immediately to, I don't want to feel like I'm lacking. So the only solution to me and my lack is to make sure other people are idiots.
Like,
that other guy that applied, he probably fucked up, and that's what's taking so long for me to get my job. Or, you know, they don't even know how to do leadership stuff. That's not me. Like, do you see how, like, you're resisting that, like, no matter what happens, I still believe in myself. Just because they don't want me for the job doesn't have anything to do with my believability in me. Like, working on that. Now, let me just tell you, when you're like me, like, I have the not good enough all the time. That's like the work of my life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're going to naturally believe your new model. I think that a lot of you, I would for sure go back. This week, we're going to do so much talking about the model in the whole tribe. The Q&A will be about the model. Tomorrow night's call will be about the model. Like, we're going to model. What you guys forget is that your new model is what you work towards. It's not what I come up with to click into place to suddenly solve my bullshit model.
Right. It's not like you flick a switch and then suddenly I feel.
Yeah. I will tell you guys what happens is that you create a new model. It makes sense. There's a moment of relief of like, oh, that could be possible. But then you go about your life. Nothing else changes. Everything is still happening the same, including your habit brain is happening the same.
That's right.
And you think that, oh, my new model must not be working. It's like, no, your new model is sitting there waiting on you to work towards it. Which means, like, yeah, every single time you think you're not good enough, you're like, yeah, and my new model is I am good enough. And I'm going to have to work on believing it by starting with, no one has to lose in this situation. This is just an interview and they're going to make a decision. And maybe we're both good enough. And then I will have my own back, whether I get the job or not, in the story. What do you think, Mama?
I think that's good. I think I've just got to mull on that and not try and just solve these feelings and make them poof go away. You know, and I think that's what I've been really struggling with. And that's when I talk about the non-believability it is in myself. That's my thought work for the next couple of weeks, definitely.
And just like I've been really working on sitting with feelings, like noticing when I'm feeling bad or feeling scared. Or I had a lot of that this last week. Like it was in my face, my insecurities, my worries, my doubts, and all things. Whenever we have a big event coming, it is like everything comes up. I mean, this is the biggest event. Like my brain was just going like, it's the biggest event we've ever had. It's all these things and blah, blah, blah. And you're not going to be able to do it. And it just, all the things. And rather than trying to feel better, I just keep telling myself, It's okay to feel some self-doubt. It's okay to feel this stuff. It's fine. It's fine. We always come out on the other side. Like, it, like some people are like, and I get this because I've been, you know, I have been to the end of the road with the depression. I mean, everybody knows I attempted suicide. So I went from sad to depressed to severe depression to like, and we're done. And that didn't mean we're done and we're recovering. It was like, we're just done. I get it. But it's like so rare that you ever get caught up in an emotion and you never come out. It's happened to me one time in my life. And of all the people in the world, that rarely ever happens. So I just figure, like, if I'm going to be in doubt or scared or whatever, I always know at some point it's going to end. It doesn't have to end, though, eating or tearing someone else down to feel better. Like it gets to just be there.
Okay. Helpful. Thank you. And I made the decision. I'll see you in January. So.
Oh, are you coming?
I haven't signed up yet, but I've made the decision yesterday. So thank you.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to do so much. I will be
out. Get ready.
We'll be in there like a Brillo pad with a bucket of bleach.
Some Phoenix.
Where are you from, by the way?
I grew up in South Africa, and then I've been in the States about 20 years.
Oh, my God. I grew up there. Accent is everything.
Oh, thanks. So is yours.
Oh, well, yeah. But, like, yours is my coach is from South Africa originally. Okay. I love talking to her. And I'm just like, it feels like every week when we coach, it feels luxurious. Oh, there's Kathy's in here. She says she can't wait to meet you. So,
but yeah. Good.
All right, we'll go to work on this. And if you're in the Facebook group, please let us know whether you get the job or not. We will celebrate either way.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye bye. Okay. All right. Somebody is asking if this is be available for replay. I think it was Hope who was. I think she was the last caller. Yeah. So, guys. Every time I do one of these calls, they are always they're always in the private member podcast. So they drop into the Tribe Live. All of today's call will not get loaded until Tuesday. Sadie is off on Mondays. And then we also put it in the video replays. So if you go to PNP Tribe and you see the video replays button, you can just tap that and then it will have latest recordings and it will be there. And a lot of times you'll see we also classify the calls. So if you want to look at calls from other different categories, you can. All right. Let me answer some questions and then we're going to get out of here, guys. Can you walk us through one of your own models so I can fully understand how to use it? I haven't done one yet. I want to understand the impact. Thank you. Hey, Leslie, I will do you one better. So this week is all about the model and stuff. I will make sure that in my journal on pnptribe.com that when I'm journaling, I will do some models in there so you guys can see them. Because they're not as sexy spoken. So I'll do some models in there. And if you want to see where they're at, if you go to pnptribe.com and you scroll to the bottom of the page, I have added at the very bottom, all my latest blogs will populate. So you can just click on one. If you look, you can read like my weekly plan and my Hello Scale worksheets already posted for this week. My journal from yesterday is already posted. And I also did the worksheet from this week. The four stages of weight loss and the stage two worksheet for all you guys. So it's all in there if you want to read those things. So you can see all of that. You can also go to the community tab and it will say Corinne's journal or something like that. You can tap on that and that will give you the page that has links to everything. So you can see all the things there if you want. I'm desperately trying to figure out how to overcome binge eating. I get shaky and feel overwhelmed. I know it's my fault because nobody is shoving food in my mouth. Yeah, but I want you to think about this, Margaret. It's not... Like, don't think like, this is my fault. I want you to just be like, I take ownership of it. There's a difference. I want you to like, with binge eaters, there's so much around how you speak to yourselves. Y'all even talk about your binge eating like it's a like terrible stain on your humanity is binge eating. Like if we can just get it to where we can start separating all that out, it's so much easier to work on. So like, I want you to think about like the only reason why I'm getting shaky, like when you are overwhelmed, a lot of you will get shaky. It's like, okay, so you're shaky. Like you need to ask yourself, all right, why am I freaking out because I'm shaky? What is the worst thing that's going to happen if I sit here and I'm shaking and I'm sweating and my heart's racing? The worst that's literally happening is this feeling is coursing through my brain. This feeling is now going through my body. When your brain is all worked up, of course it's going to send out adrenaline and cortisol. That is the stuff that you can say to yourself. Of course, this is what's happening. Like, and that kind of takes the temperature down rather than sitting there thinking, oh my God, did you know I also get shaky and I feel very overwhelmed when it happens? Like, this is real. Like, this is so bad. Like when you talk about it like that, yeah, it's going to, the experience, the way you talk about your experience is how you experience it. So like, I would think about writing about your binge, like not just a binge you've had, but like binging in itself. Write about it. Like, how do I describe it? What are my thoughts about it? What are my judgments? What are all the things that I can think of? And then read it and then say, like, is this a really helpful way to talk about it? Because you notice how, like, a lot of times on here, I'm talking to the girls and I'm saying, like, you just said this. Like, our last girl, like, you know, when I'm not good enough, here's how I start talking about it. Well, the company is an idiot. They sent me this thing. And then the other guy, he's probably an idiot, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, no wonder you don't believe something better. No wonder you're not feeling good enough, because you're not working on feeling good enough. You're working on tearing something else down. It's the same thing with binging, guys. You need to, like, look at how you're describing it. How do you talk about it? What is the relationship you have with your binging? If you're an abusive partner to your binging, of course, when it's like, you're going to feel like shit and shame and junk all around it. I just think lowering that temperature is helpful. Margaret, one of the things I would do is I would for sure think about the 6-day. We're going to be talking a lot about binge eating. I think a lot of the girls who come will end up being binge eaters. But if you can't make something like that, I would go to the video replays. And I would go to the binge eating calls. There is a button for binge eating and listen to the calls. Like, just take one or two of the binge eating calls, take copious notes, figure out something that I've taught from it. And then I want you to focus on that one application for a week or two. Do not try to fix all the things. Do not try to do all the things. It's like you guys with thought work. There's a video coming out in 3 weeks from me for the Weekend Motivator, where I'm going to talk to you guys about when it comes to your thoughts. And I will mention this again tomorrow night because I can't say it too much, but it's essentially, we have like all of these thoughts, right? All these broken thoughts. And a lot of you, what you do is you think about all the thoughts and you get all caught up in all the thoughts and you think all this has to change in order for me to change. And there's like bullshit drama. And I want to encourage you guys to pull one thing you're currently thinking and believing. And that is the only thought you work on for a solid week. You do a model on it every day. You just write about that one thought each day. I will talk to you guys about this tomorrow night. But I want you guys to start addressing just and sticking with one core thought. It does not have to be the perfect thought, the whammy thought, the deep-seated thought. It just needs to be a thought. The practice of working on one thought teaches you how to work a thought. And then what happens very often is the thoughts that aren't that hard are the ones that solve so much of the other shit. You start a snowball effect eventually. Okay. Guys, make sure that you go through module 4. When we talk about the model, I have all the model stuff in there. You also can go, let me go to, for those of you who are like really wanting to, and guys, don't listen to any bonus calls at all on anything unless you've listened to module 4. I would listen like a couple of times. Let me go to the No BS Success Path real quick since this is what we're doing. Goodbye to Fat Girl Thinking. Okay, so if it was me, I would listen to unit 2, which is the model, a couple of times. I would listen to Unit 4, the Feel the Feelings module, a couple of times. I would also listen to, listen to 2, 3, 5, or 4 and 5 a couple of times. Like, I just would listen to them. It's going to take a couple of rounds to understand them. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be teaching it all again in 1 hour, so you can listen to that call too. The model and stuff is not hard. A lot of you think it's hard because it's like you think you have to do it right. The model is not about doing it right. It is about plugging shit in and then noticing how you're thinking. You don't have to get it right. But most of us never even stop to take a minute to even consider questioning anything we think. That's all the model is doing. It's saying like, hey, let's just question something. You keep telling yourself this, and this is what keeps happening. Do you want to question it or do you want to keep it? It's as easy as that. And questioning it doesn't, like, this is our version. There's thousands of different ways to do it. So if there's thousands of different ways to do it, that means that you can't fuck it up at all. Okay, so make sure you do that. But if you go to, I was going to tell you guys also, if you go to the video replays and you click on the button called the model, there will be some calls where we really focused on the model. It's a lot of the coaching calls with the girls and where we explain some of that stuff. So once you've listened to those modules a couple of times, then I would recommend if you're really wanting to learn the model, listen to some of those this week, just while you're doing your laundry, while you're driving, while you're showering, fixing your hair, getting ready in the mornings, unwinding at night. A lot of times what our girls did, like their husbands, it's not like you guys are having like all kinds of conversation all the time. Put your headphones in, lay there in bed, listen to a call, get your private member podcast out. Okay. I'm in the opposite position trying to add exercise to my practices. I add them to my plan, but not consistent in getting it in. How can I keep leveling up? I wouldn't level up at all until you get consistent. For you, leveling up is going to be getting consistent and figuring out how do I make myself do it when I don't want to do it? How do I make myself notice when I'm thinking about myself? I feel I ignore myself, whether it's good or bad, that I don't notice or want to notice what I'm thinking about myself. The best way is to write. Guys, I'm going to tell you the best way is to get out something and write. Just write, I am thinking. I'm thinking about my cat. I'm thinking about my grocery list and how, like, I really don't want to do my grocery list. I probably don't want to do my grocery list because going to the store sucks sometimes. A lot of stuff is that boring. It's like, say, like, you know, sometimes when I'm sitting in traffic, I notice, I think the people around me suck butt. It can be that boring. Think about, like, all right, when I look at myself in the mirror, I think what? When I shower, I think what? When I'm eating, I think this tastes good. I really like this. When I have to throw away some food, I think what? Like, you get, like, just that is the easiest way to prime the pump. Sometimes you'll be like, I'm just blank. Then you think, I think I'm just blank. That's the answer. So if you think, like, if I asked you, what do you think about leaving food behind? I don't know. Then you need to think. You need to write, I think I don't know. Why do I think I don't know? Because I've never had to do this before. That's an amazing thought to find. I've never had to do this before. It's like, okay, so I should probably keep just taking some guesses. If I've never done it before, I guess I can't be wrong. I'll stumble on something. You just, basically, it's just like running off at the mouth. That's it. It doesn't have to be right. There is no right. If you read my journal, guys, you'll see. I just type to you guys. Like, literally, I'm just like what I would share with a friend. And some of you could do that when you're writing. Be like, if I was going to tell my girlfriend about what I think about my weight loss, here's the shit I would tell her. Like, write a letter to your girlfriend. Write a letter to a friend of yours and be like, if I was going to tell her about my overeating today, here's what I would say. That's your thoughts. Y'all are always journaling and you're always like, all of your conversations that you have at work with people about someone else, guess what that is? An oral thought download. When you call your mother to bitch about your husband and your kids or whatever, guess what you're doing? An oral thought download. Everything that comes out of your mouth is your thoughts. When you call your best friend to talk about one of your other girlfriends, you're doing an oral thought download. If you have a fight with your husband and you call her and you tell your side of the story, you've just done an oral thought download. It's a collection of your thoughts. That's it. It's like, how would you just describe your day to someone else? That's a thought download. It's all it takes. All my weight came off after my 19th surgery and broken foot bones that won't ever heal, and I can't exercise. My eating and relationship with food did not change. You say not based on exercise help. I know 6 day with you would help, but I cannot do it. I don't understand what your question is. All my weight came off after my 19th surgery and broken foot bones that won't ever heal. Oh, all my weight came on. Sorry, I'm reading it wrong. After my 19th surgery. Yeah, my eating and relationship with food didn't change. It did change. If you were exercising and eating as an exerciser, then when you're not an exerciser, you have to eat like someone who doesn't exercise. You kept eating with more food than your body needed. Why? When you take exercise out of the equation, your body down ramps and won't need as much food. You'll want the same amount of food. You'll want to continue to eat the same way. You'll think it's unfair and all those other kinds of things. But if you're really listening to your hunger scale, like this week, I bet I've ate half what I normally eat because I'm not doing anything. I'm not on the Peloton. I'm not running. I'm not doing anything because I started listening to my hunger scale. Okay, that's it. Y'all have a good one. I will be the call. Let me preview the calls for the week and then we'll get out of here. So today is September 29th. Tomorrow, we have the Zoom Q&A for Module 4 for all of the Fat Girl Thinking modules. So you'll be able to ask me questions. We're going to talk about the model. We're going to talk about thought downloads, journaling, accessing our thoughts, all the things. That is 6 p.m. in Zoom on Monday, September 30th. You can go to pnptribe.com. In the middle of the page is the calendar for the month. If you scroll down to September 30th and you actually tap on the date, the Zoom link will be in there. So that's the easiest way to find it, guys. There's multiple places, and that's the easiest. On Tuesday, we have Zoom coaches office hours with Kathy from 6 p.m. Central to 8 p.m. So you can just show up, no appointment needed. Talk to Kathy, love on the Kathy, adore the Kathy, whatever you want to do to the Kathy, you get to do. October 2nd at 8:30 is my public free weekly Facebook Live. If you want to attend, just use hashtag PNP Tribe and we'll make sure you get to the front of the line for questions. At noon is coaching with me on this Zoom channel as you have it right now, 12 p.m. Central, everything Central. 4 o'clock on Wednesday, October 2nd, Queens Club is your coaching with me. So you guys can come and I do office hours with you guys. I will only be doing an hour this month simply because I will already be at the hotel getting ready for camp, but it was the only time we could squeeze it in. So we're going to put it at 4 o'clock on that Wednesday, but I will go through as many people as possible that we can get through and there's no appointment needed for me. You get to just raise your hand and get your coaching. On Thursday, October 3rd, 9 a.m., I will be doing the Q&A from the hotel. We're going to rock and roll for an hour on all things, questions you have about the Fat Girl Thinking module, which is module 4 of No BS. I will be at the hotel, but I'm still going to do it because to me, this week is uber important. Saturday, while we're at camp, Coach Betsy will be having her office hours where you can come and do all the things with Coach Betsy. That will be at noon Central Time, and she will be there for 2 hours with you guys, skipping her lunch to be with you. Hopefully she'll eat before she comes back to the room. And then on Sunday, October 6th, to close out the week, Kathy will be doing the coaching call because I will still be on stage teaching, changing lives, doing all the things, probably yelling, whatever I do best. But Kathy will be with you on that day. So you guys can sign up for coaching if you want for that call. All right. Have a wonderful one. I will talk to you soon, guys. Bye.